I mean,
but if we had minimums that with the shared parking rules, we allowed them to be used more flexibly and creatively. Couldn't we revisit this in 10 to 15 years? And if there was surplus, come up with a different use for that space. I mean, one thing I will say is, someone who's looked at some apartment buildings recently, there's a great shortage of storage units in apartment buildings. And a lot of people who are downsizing would like to have a place to store some stuff on site because it's expensive mm-hmm. off-site. Mm-hmm. Couldn't there be some scenario where we would build in a adaptation or a change in use in the future if market conditions change?
Absolutely. But on the other hand, if we don't build the spaces now, we can never build them. So they won't be there to convert. So we need to get ahead of this and not behind it.
You know, several of the places in Northwest that have built parking, they're not all underground. Some of them are like half of the first floor of a building, right. Very easily converted.
Yeah. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's turn to the sign-up sheet, please.
We have 27 who've signed up to testify. Would the first three come up, please? Margot Black, Charlie So, and, Tori Jordan. They'll be followed by Ted Timmons, Rachel Shadone, and Eben Heitman.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Margot Black, and I am here as a renter, a mother with three kids. I have two cars. My family has two cars anyway. And I am coming to speak out against the minimum parking requirements because we are in the midst of an unprecedented housing crisis, and I think that anything that increases the cost of housing and restricts the supply is something that should be avoided at all costs. I've heard some compelling arguments that perhaps the increase in the development cost is not saving the renter any money, and that may be the case right now, but it does create a floor on what those rents can be. I mean, it certainly does increase the building cost, which, you know, we can't disappear any other way besides passing that on to the renters at some point. I really see this parking quagmire as being part of our growing pains of going from, you know, small town to a big city. And really, one piece of those growing pains is that we have to cut our addiction to cars. I mean, we hear over and over and over about folks or the population growth coming into the city, and we're just not going to be able to accommodate all those cars. And just like when people move to New York City and San Francisco, they don't imagine having a car there. I think that that is what we need to envision in Portland. I personally think that, you know, the parking and traffic situation is awful. You know, we can't get anywhere in town anymore in under 40 minutes unless it's, you know, what, 2 in the morning. So I got a bike. My daughter just moved to a building downtown by PSU that doesn't have any parking. You know, she got her driver's license the day after she turned 16. I couldn't stop her from getting a car. She's selling her car, you know. So we are making choices that are informed by the fact that parking is expensive and hard to find and traffic is awful. But basically, if we build it, they'll come, right? I mean, I'm not going to move to a building right now that doesn't have parking. But that doesn't mean that there aren't buildings that have parking. And so I think that for building buildings that don't have parking, people are going to move into that knowledgeable about those buildings not having parking. It's not like there aren't any choices for them, especially if they're willing to pay those premium rents for those studios in Northwest. So I don't think that people are being forced to have cars or being forced to move into buildings with no parking and get on-street parking. I think that we need to I think building the parking now and repurposing it later is exactly the way to slow our cutting our addiction from cars. And I just want to say, as a renter and a parent with cars, I absolutely am opposed to the minimum parking requirements.
Marco, can I ask you something? What did you think about the idea of, instead of parking minimums, limiting the number of permits that those new buildings get? I mean, on the one hand, obviously, it's discriminating against new people as opposed to old. But on the other hand, ultimately, I think we are going to have to limit the number of permits, and there's not going to be any perfect way. Would you think it would be acceptable or unacceptably discriminatory to say, for new buildings above a certain size, we will distribute, you know, parking permits for that permit area to half the people rather than all of them or something like that?
I think that's fine. I mean, I think anything we're doing to limit the amount, to prioritize making room for people over cars is a good thing, and if limiting parking permits is a way to do that, that's fine. I do think that, and Commissioner Fish brought up the equity lens, I think there are going to be folks who move in, possibly with disabilities or elderly, or they, suffer an injury, or for whatever reason, they need to have access to a car, and I hope that any limiting of permits like that will have a mechanism for folks to obtain those permits when they are truly deemed necessary. But again, I think that, right now we have a lot of choices, and one usually does not need to move where there is no parking right now.
Margo, so. I have an idea. I just ran it by Joe, and he didn't tell me to leave the building. So, Joe, get your reaction. What if we just said the parking minimums do not apply to affordable housing? And if you're building a unit that serves someone at 0 to 60 of median family income, which is where the greatest need is, we said that you enter into a regulatory agreement to keep, that doesn't run afoul of rent control, which we're preempted from doing.
Right now, until we overturn that ban.
I think within the current, we have to do with the hand we're dealt today. what if we just said on affordable units that parking minimum doesn't apply?
So let me just make sure I understand what you're saying. So right now, the minimum parking requirements don't kick in until after 30 units, right? So are you saying that, let's say, there are 30 market rate units and 10 affordable units, there would still be no those extra 10 wouldn't trigger the required parking spaces?
A, I don't have a Fish plan on this. B, there's a lot of people who would disagree with that approach for a lot of good policy reasons. But since you led with housing affordability, I'm just asking you. One way we could clearly meet your concern is come up with a system that said for affordable units there is no parking minimum. And I don't know how we'd have to figure out how to structure it. I'm not pitching my amendment on this, but I'm trying to figure out whether there is a way to get at what you led with, which is anything that adds to the cost. And the truth is, lots of things add to the cost of housing, even for affordable housing.
Especially for affordable housing, right? There's a lot of social costs built in.
Well, and for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
We want a low-income family to be able to send their kids to a school in Southwest and Outer East and Northeast and not mm-hmm. just have one choice. So mm-hmm. we sometimes build on higher-cost dirt. But I'm trying to get philosophically what you would think about having a minimum but not applying it to affordable housing.
I mean, certainly in principle, I don't oppose that at all. I think that's a great idea. I worry, though, about the cost of market rate housing, because that is going to impact everybody who makes 61% and above median family income. And I think that anything that is adding to the cost of market rate housing is a concern.
It's an imperfect solution.
But it's imperfect,
something
sure.
Something to think about. Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon. My name is Charlie So. Before I begin my testimony, I just want to point out that there is, before we talked about there is 4,100 on-street permit spaces in Northwest. Actually, the Northwest Parking Study actually cites there are 6,184 parking space on-street parking spaces. So I just want to correct that number out there for anyone who's paying attention. So I'm here today to ask City Council to reject new parking minimum requirements for Northwest Portland. Parking minimum requirements is a policy that subsidizes car storage at the expense of housing affordability by increasing housing costs and restricting the supply of new housing units. Parking makes housing more expensive by increasing construction costs. And according to a study in 2012 by the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, a parking space could cost between $20,000 to $55,000 to build, and that doesn't even include the land cost. The same study also shows that development with required on-site parking can increase monthly rent per unit between 6 to 60% compared to the same development without required parking, depending on the type of parking facility that's provided on-site. And parking requirements restrict new housing supply in Portland. City data actually shows that if parking requirements had existed in Northwest Portland in 2008, they would have illegalized 23% or 305 new housing units that have been built in Northwest Portland. Northwest Portland already has a lot of other parking management tools, such as residential parking permits, on-street parking meters, and now we have the option of shared parking. So I think without studying and evaluating just how effective these tools are in terms of managing parking resources, city council should not rush to impose new parking requirements. The most effective way to manage parking demand is charging the right market price to reflect the true cost of parking and not imposing arbitrary requirements that force tenants to pay for parking through more expensive rent, regardless if they own a car. Portland already has too many cars. I urge City Council to not create more space for cars, but more space for people. Thank you.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
Hello. Mayor Hales, Commissioners, my name is Tony Jordan. I'm speaking on behalf of Portlanders for Parking Reform. I encourage you to pass the Planning and Sustainability Commission's recommendation to allow more shared parking, but to refrain from extending the minimum parking requirements into Northwest Plan Area. Minimum parking requirements have been bad for the housing situation in Portland. How bad? No one really knows because we have not comprehensively studied the effect that they've had on the housing market. BPS data show that since 2013, we've seen an abnormally high rate of buildings built with exactly 30 apartments. Because of the 30-unit threshold for parking, the 31st unit brings a requirement for 6 parking stalls with it, which can cost, depending on where it's built, up to $300,000 in construction and even more in lost opportunity for that space of the parking spaces. And I think this is critical when we're talking about the effect on cost, because it's really the lost supply that is currently in our current market where prices are going to eat up the savings from the parking in a no parking building. It's the additional units in that building which are going to help more than the lack of parking construction currently. This is a policy that should be reformed or repealed and not expanded, especially during a housing crisis. Unlike neighborhoods in 2013, Northwest Portland has a toolbox full of parking management strategies at its disposal. Expanded permit zones, new meters, and after the recommended shared parking that we're asking for, and pretty soon we should have better permit programs available as well. So I think there's much less risk right now in waiting to see how these more flexible and equitable policies play out and then adjust them to work better rather than applying a policy that might not really help very much and certainly will hurt the house, will exacerbate the housing crisis. So I think that's really, there's some evidence that when you talk about how we're going to get people out of their cars, when you look at transit-oriented developments that have access to cheap parking, people don't give up their cars. There was a study recently in New Jersey that showed that it was restricting the cost, increasing the cost of parking or restricting the access to parking that led people to get rid of those cars they don't use very much. Portland has a very wide ecosystem of car sharing opportunities, peer-to-peer and corporate. And I went car-free 7 years ago. I have a family with 2 small children. What made me do that was that I had the ability to move and use a zip car and use get-arounds and other things to go on weekend trips and use cars when I need them. Adding these parking requirements, I think, is a step in the wrong direction for our city, for our plans, and where we want to go. So I encourage you to not approve the amendment for minimum parking requirements. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
Next 3, Ted Timmons, Rachel Shadone, Evan Heitman, and they'll be followed by Soren Impe, Chris Rall, and Alan Kessler.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi. I'll go ahead and start. I'm Ted Timmons. I live in Northwest. I was born here. I've lived a few other places, and I keep coming back. I live in the Northwest District. I love that I can just walk around. By the way, you have this in your notes. I'm a terrible speaker. I love that I can walk to coffee and groceries and more coffee. There's space in the Northwest where we don't have to destroy buildings, to destroy old houses, to put in more apartments. And by the way, not just apartments, but also condos and, you know, purchased housing. We don't have that in other places in the city. Northwest is different in that way. We can put in these large units and absorb more people than we can in some of the other areas of town. The complex at 19th and Overton that has over 100 units, those are 300 square foot units. So That's why there's so many units in there. These are micro houses. That's not someone who says, I want to live in a tiny amount of space and have a large car. Secondly, we have a lot of traffic in Northwest already. I hear a lot of my neighbors complaining about it. There aren't many streets. If you want to get from Southwest or the West over, you have Cornell and you have the freeway. Cornell backs up miles every night. Do we really need, if we're adding 4,000 units, do we really need to add 3,000 more cars? Either they're not being used or we're putting them on the roads that are already full. So I'm concerned that it's really kind of an incumbent attitude of, hey, there's space in front of my house or in front of my building, and I feel like I own that space. And that's a public resource. It's not something that you own. It's not on your title. There's a reason for that. And for that reason, among many other reasons, it's really inappropriate to say, well, I was here first, so you don't get a permit. That, I think, is a really terrible way to go. You know, given their permits $5 a month, we might be underpricing that resource a little bit. So, you know, that's what I've got. I'm concerned about that. I see no reason to enforce that.
But Ted, isn't any way of rationing permits unfair to somebody? I mean, if you raise the price, then that means that people without much money aren't going to be able to afford it, as opposed to rationing it based on who came there first.
What we've seen is that it's kind of a myth of, you know, well, if we, for instance, in the central city, if we increase the price of parking, then, you know, our lowest income people that come in can't afford to park here. There's a pretty strong correlation between car ownership and wealth. And, you know, so that's kind of a myth to say, you know, well, we need to make sure they're still affordable. Cars aren't affordable to begin with.
Hello, my name is Rachel Shadone, and I run Akashic Labs. It's a small data science and user experience research consultancy. And I'm here to encourage you to reject parking minimum requirements for Northwest. What this proposal comes down to for me is, do we want a city that's built for people, or do we want a city that's built for cars? I grew up in Oklahoma, spent the majority of my life in Oklahoma City, which is a city built for cars. It's larger in land area than Los Angeles and about 8 times less dense. Most of my memories of Oklahoma are of endless driving and miles of parking lots. It's not a good look for a city. In 2012, I worked with Intel on a project studying how people use cars. And one of the biggest takeaways was that cars are not in use 80 to 90% of the time. We have limited space here in Portland. That is just a reality of the city. And these parking requirements required using these valuable space resources that could be used to house people to accommodate privately held resources that aren't even in use most of the time. Cars are a public health nightmare, not just from an accident, injury, and death perspective, but also from a perspective of pollution and carbon footprint. We should not be putting in place regulations that encourage or make easier the ownership of cars. Car ownership disincentivizes investment in public infrastructure, in bike lanes, in public transit, all of these things that we are having to build a city together. And because of the very low unit requirement, the 30, that takes limited space and encourages small developments. And this idea that small developments are better is sort of... it's lovely, but housing is expensive, and we need to make the most efficient use of the space that we have unless we want to become like San Francisco, which is something that I also don't want for Portland. So in effect, Portland is growing, we've got limited time and limited space, and we're going to keep coming up against these choices. Do we want a city for people or a city for cars? And I want to live in a city for people.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Afternoon.
Hi. My name is Evan Heitman. I'm here to testify on the parking minimums. I hope that you'll reject the proposal. I've already submitted written testimony, so I'll keep this one brief. Commissioner Novick and others have emphasized that framed this as a short-term issue, that we have a problem in Northwest with parking and we need to solve it. But this proposed solution of parking minimums is not a temporary solution. This is a permanent solution. This is a change to the regulation that would have effects for several decades. And several decades from now, I don't know about you, but I want to live in a Portland that has fewer cars, not more. And so I think that if you, like me, want to see fewer cars and not more cars in Portland, then you'll support smarter parking management strategies and reject parking minimums.
Thank you. Thank you all.
And the next three, please. Soren Impe, Chris Rall, Alan Kessler. They'll be followed by Doug Klotz, Philip Sellinger, and Jonathan Avery.
Great. Thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome. Go ahead.
Alan Kessler, I'm here on behalf of Bike Walk Vote. I want to let everyone know that Bike Walk Vote is watching this vote very carefully. It is absolutely against anything that would increase reliance and ease of use of automobiles in the city core. We are particularly concerned, maybe this point hasn't been mentioned yet, that more cars degrade transit. If you have more cars on the streetcar moves slower, gets easier to walk rather than ride it. Cars get boxed up into the box, they block the max, they make the buses slower. The more cars that you try to fit into the geometry of a district, the slower transit gets. And it's a vicious circle, because when transit gets slower, people think, oh, I need to use a car to get around because I can't rely on transit anymore. There's no doubt in my mind, being a person who comes downtown every day, that there are already too many cars in the area. Every day there's a huge backup. I have to weave in the gutter with my bicycle to get to the bridges because people are backed up, sitting, idling, sitting off smog, to be in this space with their cars. I think that from comments that I've seen from some of your offices, some of you know that this is bad policy, that parking minimums are a last solution in a big stack of good solutions. You also know that we're working on good solutions. You have already passed a great toolkit that Northwest has to try to improve the situation. And it would be a terrible irony if the council today approved parking minimums, the tools that are already in place worked, and then people credit the parking minimums with having improved the situation. Then we would be stuck in these dark ages for a lot longer. I saw a couple of your offices say something like, well, we can pass this now, but roll it back across the city later. And I think that's the wrong move. That's not how you will shift the momentum if you give in to this request for bad policy to placate some neighbors. One other point I want to touch on that's not really in the Bike Walk Vote purview is this affordable housing issue. I think that there's a lot of focus placed on MFI less than 60%, but there are really good reasons to want market rate housing to be affordable for the middle class. And when you think about affordable housing, there are lots of different definitions, but I think you should absolutely be considering the people who will live in those 350 square foot apartments in the 120 unit building. I think those people should be given consideration too, because we don't want just those people who are eligible and then the very wealthy to live in it. We want a spectrum of people. Finally, that building, that 120-unit building, is exactly what this proposal will destroy. You need the geometry of the situation is you need that space for small houses to make a project that big work. And if you require every single building to have parking spots once they get over a max, those buildings just won't work. And there was a great article in Bike Portland that actually talked to the developer and explained exactly how that will make it so that we won't have these big buildings full of small units that might actually become affordable to the middle class.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Chris Rall. I live at 2332 Southeast 54th Avenue. And you may wonder, why does someone from Southeast care about what's going on in Northwest? Well, a couple things. One is that our whole city's in a housing crisis. I think this proposal for minimum minimum parking off-street parking requirements could have an impact on housing, particularly market rate. So we're very concerned about that. I have friends and colleagues who are moving out of town, moving to places like Troutdale. A colleague whose wife doesn't drive, and they're out there now because they couldn't afford to live in Portland anymore. Where are my kids going to live when they're old enough to go out and get their apartment if we don't have enough housing supply in 10 years from now when they're flying away from my coop? Number two is I agree that the challenge to park in Northwest is, you know, it's a challenge there. My daughter is part of the Pacific Youth Choir. We've got to get to Northwest sometimes, and it can be a disaster zone. But the thing about these off-street parking minimums, it's a little bit like, you know, having a cut on your hand and you apply a tourniquet. I actually like that that tourniquet analogy. Rather than actually addressing the situation, you know, do some compression and elevation, solve the problem with the cut on your hand. We're, you know, putting the tourniquet on the arm. The problem is on street. So address it with on-street policies that address the street and how you manage parking on street. As long as parking on the street is cheaper than parking off-street, people are going to park on street. With the existing imbalance, if you think about adding these off-street spots and trying to kind of regulate that into new development, it's going to barely make a dent in the huge imbalance you already have in terms of the permit, that imbalance of how many permits have been sold and how many parking spaces there are. So just I fail to see how it's going to actually solve the problem. So what I'd like to see is not adding parking minimums in Northwest. And then I really agree with this idea of parity. I think we need to revisit the rest of the city and look at pulling back minimums from the rest of the city. And number three, just keep moving forward. We've got a lot of tools that the city is developing in terms of managing on-street parking. I think we're on the right track. We just need to continue to actually apply those market-based principles. We need to think about equity and figure out how to have ways for low-income folks to have a low-income program for permits or whatever it is, other ways to try to make sure we're addressing those issues. And we can do this. So thank you.
Good afternoon.
Hi. Soren Impey, and I have rented in Portland for almost 17 years. So I am very much opposed to mandating parking minimums. As you've heard, Portland is suffering from a rental crisis with vacancy rates that have been among the lowest in the nation for a very extended period. And thousands of Portland residents have been displaced due to rent increases and redevelopment of units. And low-income people are affected, but in my neighborhood, I'm seeing my middle-income neighbors displaced or moving because of this housing crisis. So I wanted to just make that point because this policy will affect, in the short term, middle-income people more, but they are also being displaced and affected by this housing crisis. I wanted to focus, too, on the types of units or buildings that are being built. And it's my understanding that most luxury housing tends to exceed parking minimums. So this policy is really targeting low and middle income buildings. So it represents, in essence, an indirect tax on the people who are most affected by the housing crisis. And in terms of, equity, in terms of rationing, as has been discussed, I do want to also reiterate that if you look at census data in Portland, it is low-income people that tend to walk or use transit the most as their transportation mode. So I really want to strongly urge you to reject what I view as an unfair and unequal indirect tax on lower and middle income people. So, and apart from housing equity, there's this issue of Portland's climate action plan and Portland's active transportation plans. This would be a big step backwards by sort of reinforcing the idea that we need to mandate parking. We are essentially making a statement, that Portland will not or is unwilling to meet its goals, of less than 50% car mode share, automobile mode share, 25% bike mode share. I'll just want to finish because there's discussion about the people who own cars and are not getting rid of them. I happen to be one of them. I have an electric vehicle. I think I have not driven it as a single occupant for years, okay? And why do I have this car? Because parking is so inexpensive and so underpriced in this city. If I had to pay $10 or $20 a month for parking, I'd get rid of the car instantly. So I urge you to not support parking minimums.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Next three, please. Doug Klotz, Philip Selinger, Jonathan Avery. They'll be followed by Corey Poole, Reza Farhouli, and Joselle Johnson.
Hi, my name is Doug Klotz. I live in Southeast, and I am here to give you examples of how the parking minimums have played out in Southeast. And I was one of those urging you not to put the minimums in place back in 2013. But since they're in place, what we've seen is up to 40% loss in units in buildings. Just giving two examples right across the street from each other. At 30th and Hawthorne, 3013 Southeast Hawthorne, there's a 100 by 100 foot lot, and they built a 50-unit building there before the minimums were required. And currently, there's a building under construction right across the street at 1515 Southeast 31st. It's right on Hawthorne, 100 by 100 foot lot. It's going to have 30 units. So the comparison right there is we were getting 50 before the requirement, now we're getting 30. It's not exactly all that, but that's kind of the general trend. You get a lot of 30-unit buildings, as you've seen testimony, as you've probably had some charts mailed to you also, that shows the 14 buildings that are built right at 30 in the last couple of years. And what do you get with, instead of 50 units, you get 30 units, and we can't put in more units, but we can make the ones we have bigger so that we get more expensive units, but we don't get more units. We have extra space, we can put in a restaurant, so we have more restaurant space, but we don't have 20 units of housing, which would arguably be more useful, in inner Southeast and certainly in Northwest to have the housing rather than more commercial space, which we sometimes seem to have too much of already. And especially these are in Southeast, these are spots right where we're on transit, where we want to put people. And in Northwest, we have the most transit-rich environment in the city. This is where it makes the most sense to have the most people living. We don't want to be artificially reducing the number of people who could live there. Alan mentioned the 120-unit buildings, and that's as you mentioned, that's the sort of thing that if you, there are no limits on how many units you can build, but then you can build smaller ones if you want, if there's a market for them and you want to build those. With the 30-unit minimum, with the parking requirements, you're not going to get that. So I would say that we don't want to have the parking minimums added at this point. Work on the management of the on-street and price it so that people will make the choice not to have a car. We'll look at ways to accommodate low income, those with disabilities, and other ways to make the equity picture of part of it work. But we need to have the market sending signals to folks that, well, maybe I don't need to have a car here.
Thank you, Doug. Welcome. Good afternoon, Mayor, members of council. My name is Phil Selinger. I'm a member of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee and a resident of Northwest Thurman Street. I believe in a balanced set of transportation management strategies for the increasingly dense and active Northwest neighborhood. The modest citywide parking minimums framework should be one of those strategies. But I also support more aggressive promotion of active transportation modes and demand management programs. I would have preferred to fully exhaust the TDM strategies before implementing parking minimums, but new development is quickly upon us and integrated parking cannot be provided retroactively. Providing some baseline of off-street parking would seem prudent. The citywide parking minimums baseline is more modest than many in the NWDA and fellow SAC members would have liked, but appropriate, I believe, in a neighborhood with decent transportation options. I do acknowledge that some of the exceptions in the framework are flawed and that the provision of affordable housing should be one of those exceptions. It is encouraging that the Bike Town program will have a strong presence in Northwest. A proposed crosstown bus route using the Fremont Bridge should also be popular. Pedestrian and bike infrastructure improvements at 18th, 19th, and West Burnside
as well as I-405 overcrossings at Northwest Cooch and Flanders, and new street connections related to the Conway Master Plan will all help. I concede that the lack of off-street parking is affecting the quality of life for anyone with a car and creating more traffic as folks hunt for that elusive parking space. I hope someday we can reduce car ownership with car sharing and other services and programs. I think the conservative citywide minimums framework would continue to nudge my neighbors in that direction. Thank you.
Thank you. Afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Jonathan Avery. I'm the president of Legacy Good Samaritan Medical Center, and I may be the outlier in the room because I'm here just to talk about shared parking. Good Samaritan is strongly in support of the proposed code change, which would make it possible for Good Sam to share our parking assets with residents, visitors, and businesses in Northwest Portland. For a little bit of background, Good Sam has about 2,000 employees and another 600 physicians and their staff work on our campus right now in our medical office buildings. And we care for about 60,000 patients annually. To provide parking for all of these folks, we operate around 2,000 stalls in our accessory lots today. We have a complex parking situation in that during peak weekday hours, we have shortages of parking today on occasions. That's become a bigger and bigger problem over time as both Northwest Portland and Legacy have grown. It's our number one goal to ensure that our patients and visitors have access to parking, and we've made a number of changes to achieve this goal, including greatly increasing our employees' incentives to use public transportation. Conversely, on non-peak hours, mostly evenings and weekends for us, we have excess parking capacity with hundreds of stalls open in multiple lots. Our goal is to make our underutilized parking assets available to those who need it in Portland. We see it as a big win both for Northwest Portland and for Legacy. First of all, it would reduce all of the traffic congestion we see right now that's caused by the endless searching around our neighborhoods for scarce spaces. It would provide more spaces to residents, shoppers, and businesses. And finally, for Legacy, it would help us to defray our cost of running our parking systems, which are very expensive to operate annually. Unfortunately, there's no ability for us to do this under the current code because short-term pay-to-park options are not allowed for accessory lots. So we're strong supporters of the proposed code amendments and the administrative rules that will allow us to operate our accessory lots as commercial parking once our specific plans are approved by the SAC. This will make available hundreds of parking stalls after hours and weekends to shoppers and other visitors in Northwest Portland. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks very much. That's a big resource. Thank you.
Next three, please. Corey Poole, Reza on Northwest 12th, and Joselle Johnson. And they will be followed by Stephen Judkins, Ron Walters, and Sarah.
Welcome.
Hi, I'm Corey Poole. I live in Southeast Portland, and I fondly remember looking for parking in Northwest, 20-some years ago, and being very frustrated at that time finding parking in Northwest. So I appreciate we've had this problem for a while. I am speaking out against the parking minimums, primarily from a safety standpoint. You know, I think of the work that this council and we've done with Vision Zero. I think of my friend Alistair, who about a year ago today lost his leg because of a careless driver. And we need to face that every additional car coming into the city where the streets are already at capacity, where there's already outrageous congestion, becomes an increasing risk to pedestrians, to bicyclists, to skateboarders, to kids on scooters, to adults on scooters. You know, I just can't see how in this time that we could be encouraging, even mandating, that people bring more cars. Please bring more cars to Portland is what we're saying with this. I also think back a lot to the PBOT transportation hierarchy. You know, and on that hierarchy, for those who don't know, pedestrians, I believe, are at the top, followed by, I don't know, bicycles, transit, taxi cabs. Way at the bottom is single occupancy vehicles. So it kind of bewilders me that the single occupancy vehicle keeps coming to the top on all these discussions as the most important thing that needs to be addressed immediately and needs to be accommodated. You know, parking is not a human right. You know, there's nowhere it says that you are obligated to store your vehicle in the public right of way. I don't know where that exists. So I guess I would just say that I would hope that maybe after we've addressed all the safety for pedestrians, maybe after the last sidewalk is built, maybe after Google self-driving cars are here and the streetcars running all over town, maybe then we could come back and revisit parking minimums. But until then, I just don't see why we're addressing it.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Yes, welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Reza Farhudi. I'm with the Pearl District Neighborhood Association, but these words are my own. I want to start by saying I'm 100% against the parking minimums aspect of this proposal, chiefly for the reasons of housing affordability and safety, two things that our city desperately needs. But I think this issue of parking scarcity, it can be described more as a three-legged stool. You have the parking minimums for off-street parking. You have market-based permit pricing parking for on-street parking, and you also have the presence of whether you have quality alternatives to driving. All three of these issues need to be addressed. When we talk about permit pricing, you've heard the cost of a permit per year is $60. It's $150 per month on average. Where is the incentive for people to park in the garage if parking is available so cheaply and so abundantly in the terms of the number of permits that are being subscribed to on street? And then in terms of the quality alternatives, you might remember last fall when the PPOC came to discuss the Neighborhood Greenway Assessment Report, looking at the conditions of neighborhood greenways throughout the city, and Northwest Portland scored pretty low, chiefly because many of the greenways in Northwest have too many automobile volumes, too high automobile volumes. And Mr. Mayor, I'm glad you brought up the point about transit nirvana. Contrary to popular opinion, much of Northwest Portland is not what you would consider a transit mecca, especially the further north you go in the district, such as where the Tess O'Brien apartments are located. They've gotten a lot of attention. So I don't think any TriMet or Portland streetcar staff are in this room, but they should be because they're a big part of the solution here. Northwest Portland is in desperate need of more service coverage, more service frequency, and a greater span of service. The recently adopted service enhancement plan by TriMet last week, actually, would provide new service in the fast-growing section of Conway and North Pearl, and would add more service along existing lines, such as Line 16, Line 20, and Line 77. So while I steadfastly oppose any sort of mandatory parking minimum, until these biking and transit enhancements are implemented, and until permit pricing is made more fair and equitable, at a level on or near the price of off-street parking, we will continue to see negative externalities resulting from people moving to these developments with their cars and thinking they could just park on the street for very little money. This situation must change. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi. My name's Joselle Johnson, and I'm actually a 25-year-old homeowner of a small multifamily housing in Northwest Portland. I've seen in the last 25 years where we've gone from actually having 1.5 cars per housing to a gasp, I'm down to 1.25. I still have over a 1-to-1 car ratio into my units. 75% of my units do not work in Portland. They are not available for transit. I'm Nike, I'm Intel, I'm actually supporting Beaverton and pharmaceutical owners. For me, I actually had to purchase off-street parking to become affordable, well, not affordable, to become competitive with the new housing going in so that I could attract tenants. For me, I welcome actually the shared housing, thank you, but I actually support the minimum requirement for the construction. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
Next three, please. Stephen Judkins, Ron Walters, Thera, Ayanna Ohn, and Arone. And they will be followed by Thomas Ranieri, Frank Stock, and Patrick Rafferty.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Go ahead, please.
Hi. My name is Stephen Judkins. I grew up in Portland, and recently I was lucky enough to purchase a house. I'm concerned about the fact that, and generally, most people testify in here are people who are privileged homeowners like myself. I understand that it's very difficult for someone that's relied on on-street parking in Northwest Portland to find it now that it's becoming difficult, and new developments will make it even harder for them. I think it's very important that we keep in perspective the challenges people who are renters in this time of pretty dire housing affordability crisis. I bought my house 4 years ago. This last year, the appreciation on it exceeded my salary. So if I wasn't lucky enough, this dream of being able to stay in Portland would be rapidly receding from my sights. Like I said, I understand it's hard. Like, it's pretty big inconvenience. But there are tools we can use to make it easier. And if the trade-off we're talking about is to make it easy for people to find parking with increasing the minimums, or to constrict supply further and make it more difficult for people to find housing, I think really the right thing to do for the council is to do anything to help people afford to live in Portland. That said, I really like Commissioner Novick's idea of some novel strategies to restrict the number of permits available for on-street parking. And we already have the neighborhood parking permit program that gives the neighborhood some tools to control this better. But like I said, this binary option here, if it's going to be less affordability or less easy parking, and I think looking at it from perspective of human welfare, affordability and ability to have a home should come out on top instead of easy parking for people that are generally wealthy and securely housed. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Ron Walters. I live at 2057 Northwest Overton Street. That was a fantastic introduction, by the way, and we didn't plan this. I was NWDA president when the Northwest Parking Plan was negotiated. I currently serve on the NWDA board and the Northwest Parking Stakeholder Advisory Committee. However, my testimony today is personal. I'm a supporter of affordable housing and sensible parking policy. I want both. I believe both goals are achievable and compatible with a simple policy change. It's essentially the one that's been raised here as an alternative a couple times already today. I believe it's oversimplified, if not inaccurate, to suggest that no parking equals lower rent. In fact, I think the absence of parking minimums simply opens the door to increased developer profits and does not assure more affordable housing in our tight housing market. We need to make sure that the savings accrued by not building off-street parking are passed along to renters and the public, simply not captured by developers who choose not to provide parking. I believe there's a fairly straightforward solution. Permits should not be readily available to residents of new market rate developments that don't offer off-street parking. It's a win-win-win. Developers who argue that their renters don't have cars are not required to provide parking. Renters who don't have cars aren't required to pay for it, and the public isn't burdened with the cost of increased demand for limited on-street parking. The market will pair renters who don't own cars with more affordable developments that don't offer parking. And I think, as Ben's raised, exceptions and incentives could be made for affordable housing units. So I encourage the City Council to evaluate and implement some type of plan like this, which will assure more affordable housing and not worsen the already difficult parking situation in Northwest Portland. In the meantime, regarding this timing issue, I do support parking minimums as a tourniquet. It's an imperfect but important tool that will help us balance parking supply and demand in the short term while we find a more comprehensive set of policies and programs that can be deployed in the longer term. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. Thank you very much for your time today. My name is Sarah Iannarone. Many of you know me because I was running for mayor recently, but what I do every day for a living is try to finish my PhD in Portland State on sustainable urban development and share our policies and best practices and what we're working on here with visitors from around the world, many of whom, when we started our program 8 years ago, came here to ride the streetcar from the Pearl District to the Northwest District to see what would it look like if they made investments in transit in their own area. How could they grow places affordably, equitably, sustainably? We're seen as a model around the world. And frankly, the mandatory parking minimums, there's nothing innovative or model about that behavior. It's a blunt instrument, and it's not particularly the pathway, as you've heard from the experts here, that we should be taking. There are many, many other things that we should be requiring and trying out first before construction, especially when we're in the midst of an affordable housing crisis. I know that you all realize the urgency and the importance of dealing with that housing crisis. I thank you very much for your recent efforts in that area with the excise tax, referring the affordable housing bond to voters this November, and all the other actions you've taken in the last 18 months. But we need to think carefully about how can we see these times of crisis as opportunities for us to be in that position as a leader. What do we think about when we think about the transportation demand management tools that we were able to develop when we worked on the mixed-use zones and town centers plan that Doug Klotz was with me on, that Grant Moorhead is here today? There are things coming right down the pike that we're going to be able to try very, very soon. So I would ask you, please hold off on instituting something as permanent as parking minimums with new construction there in Northwest Portland, and consider using some more innovative, equitable, climate-based transportation, transit, bicycle, pedestrian-oriented tools before we think about looking at parking minimums in that district. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Next three, please. Thomas Ranieri, Frank Stoll, Patrick Rafferty. They'll be followed by Ian McKenzie, Wendy Chung, and Tony Schwartz.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Tom Ranieri, and I am a member of the SAC and have been involved in the parking issues in Northwest Portland for about 26 years now. I'm going to have to make my comments quick because I'm about to get a parking ticket. however, I was primarily coming down here today to support the passage, or at least put my support for the parking minimums, and I was hoping to hear from developers who could speak to the issue of the affordability impact that this parking minimums would put on the development of new spaces. And I was wondering if, prior to voting on this, there can be more testimony from people that are actually involved in building that could speak to whether or not these increases are as big as some people are claiming. The other thing I would say is that the idea of kicking this down the road after we've tried some other things, I don't see how we have that much time left. I mean, I've been, as Commissioner Fritz mentioned, it was Sam Adams' last hurrah with the parking, but I've witnessed now Vera Katz and Tom Potter and Sam Adams, and now Charlie Hales, and I'm wondering if after all this time, it'll be 30 years, if it's Ted Wheeler's turn. So, I'm hoping that we could move on this, because we've been promised a lot over the years in Northwest Portland, and so far we haven't received that much in terms of trying to tamp out this extremely difficult problem for everybody that lives and works and recreates in Northwest Portland. Thanks.
Thank you.
So what you're really saying is that you've tried everything else, and that the committee has looked at everything else, and that you unanimously came to a recommendation of parking minimums.
What I'm saying is that I think it's a reasonable approach to have parking minimums put in there, especially for developers who claim that they're building for people who are not going to be, having any car ownership. I mean, that's a possibility right there of just saying, if they're making that claim that they don't have car ownership, then maybe they don't get the permits. I mean, we've looked at a lot of different things. I mean, we have a lot of different stuff to look at beyond the parking minimums. But I think that you know, we're looking at this in a balanced sort of way. There's a lot of experience, a lot of institutional experience there. And what I think we really need to do in terms of, I mean, if the issue really is one of affordability, if that's what was driving the vote 5-2, I think it'd be really important to get some better data about that, or at least public data about how much it actually costs. Most of the you know, the housing stock in Northwest Portland is old, you know, so we're really talking about the new portion of it. And so, you know, let's look at whether or not, you know, my personal belief is that the market is just whipping everything up here, and we're sort of embroidering around the edges with policy. I'm not saying it's unimportant, but you know, the wind that this economy and the market is kicking up is enormous. It's creating its own weather.
Welcome. Hi, I'm Frank Stock. Thank you, Mayor and City Council. Fortunately, I'm speaking for one of the developers that is doing this. Has a couple current projects in the Northwest Plan District, and it does matter. So it's simple math. I think most people understand we're marketing to the influx of tenants that are coming here that there's not going to be parking. They realize they're coming here. They look at the units. They realize there's no magic to make parking that's not there. They're asking for secured bike storage. It's a whole different influx of tenants. If this is passed, what you're going to do is continue to see the 30 units or less. Math is math. So if we are required to put the parking for above the 30 units, then that's just what's going to happen. So we're in agreement of the shared parking, just with Legacy saying that they would have, that would be great for us to offer to our tenants for the night times and weekends. The cost of the parking stalls, you know, they're around $50,000. And if you just do the simple math, that's decades to recover that cost. I got a little confused about the PowerPoint that was up on the screen earlier that suggested the range was from 1,560 to 1,175 for the studio units. And then some of them had parking and some of them didn't. We actually own one of the properties that was in there. That's the range. So you see the 1,560, you see the 1,175, you see the difference in the cost. Parking wasn't provided. Some of the people can't actually afford the 1560 for a studio. So we're many of our places are market rate, but recently in the Northwest Plan District, we're approved for the affordable housing component. So that's what we're going to continue to do. I can't say that's the driving factor for parking, because then what does that do? As the previous gentleman said about the market rate units, those are going to go up. So if you don't get the costs will have to be recovered in some way. We wrote a letter to City Council, and I'm just going to briefly go through this just to state. The parking requirements for the Northwest District would have a serious negative impact on the future supply of the affordable housing if passed, and housing as a whole. The ability to create new affordable urban rental housings with escalating land costs, the increased permit costs, increased labor wages, increased material costs, and we just passed increased taxes for our construction. It's already a serious constraint, and yet we're asking for us to reduce the rent costs. The costs are the cost. The majority of renters in the urban do not have the automobiles, at least the ones that are applying to us. The general public demand is a non-project related tenancy and will not support new parking either. Therefore, it becomes a secondary burden to the development and the ownership. One, cost. Number two, debt service. With that being said, I think you got my message. I don't need to continue on. Thank you very much.
We vote to reject it.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
So you heard the idea discussed of, rather than having minimum parking requirements, limiting the number of permits that new buildings get, so not everybody in the new building would necessarily get a permit to park on the street. If you could only promise permits to park in the permit area to half of your prospective tenants, do you think that you would still have demand for your units and people would say, okay, I know I don't have a parking space on site, I might not even be able to park on the street, but I still want that unit? Or would there be no market for that?
Absolutely. I think you're on the right path. I don't know what that number is, what the percentage is, but I was paying attention when you mentioned that earlier.
if you saw the stats that were posted, the 120 had, what was it, 90 or 60? So the percentage is already working out. So we would be in agreement with that.
Good to know. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Patrick Rafferty, just a concerned citizen. I urge you not to pass this. There have been a handful of people who have been in favor of it and four or five handfuls of people today who have not been. I think everything's already been said. The one thing that I will say is that cars are not a fact of life.